Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cera Sanitaryware Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q4 and full year FY19 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today the management team of Cera Sanitaryware, Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of the company, are on the call today. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management team, following which we will have the forum opened for an interactive Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard has been included in the earnings documents that were shared with all of you earlier. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks. Over to you, Ayush.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time out to join the call. The earnings for the fourth quarter and for the full year were adopted by the Board of Directors on 14th May 2019. The earnings document have been released to the stock exchanges. FY19 has been an important year for Cera, a year where certain milestones which were crossed for the first time. The company achieved healthy growth on all parameters despite challenging macro conditions. The housing market was not the most benign, but the company had a retail focus that started 10 years ago, resulting in 3/4 share of revenues from retail and points of sale. Despite this, we have ended the year with double-digit growth in revenues and profitability. The new products which we launched during the year also received an encouraging response from the market. We are also pleased to share that the board has recommended a dividend of rupees 13 per share on the face value of rupees 5 per share. First, I'll cover the quarterly performance and then the full year FY19. Revenue for the quarter stood at 413 crores versus 361 crores in Q4 of 17-18, registering a growth of 14.5% YOY. EBITDA excluding other income for Q4 FY19 was 64 crores versus 51 crores in Q4 in 17-18, registering a 25.2% growth on a YOY basis. The EBITDA margins for the period stood at 15.4%, higher by 130 basis points on the back of improving product mix and operational efficiencies. Profit after tax for Q4 was 38 crores versus 31 crores in Q4 FY18, an increase of 24.3%. EPS on a quarterly basis was 29.3 per share versus 23.5 per share on a YOY basis. Now let me share with you the financial performance for the full year ending 31st March 2019. Revenue from operations for FY19 stood at 1,344 crores versus 1,193 crores in FY17-18, registering a 12.7% YOY growth. This was achieved due to a combination of strategic interventions, network growth, and product recalibrations. The contributions from products which we introduced in the last 1 or 2 years have been very positive, indicating the efficacy of our R&D teams and design excellence, which enable us to drive growth amidst the challenging environment. Within our segments, faucetware was the standout performer with industry-leading growth. I would also like to highlight here that our other income figure, which is quite sizable, does not include any one-time or non-recurring extraordinary income. In FY19, our other income stood at 15.65 crores as against 11.28 crores in FY18. EBITDA excluding other income for FY19 was 191 crores versus 171 crore in FY17-18, registering a growth of 11.6% on a YOY basis. The EBITDA margins for the period stood at 14.2%. Profit after tax for FY19 was 115 crores versus 100 crores in FY18, an increase of 14.8%. EPS on an annual basis has been Rs. 88.5 per share in FY19 versus Rs. 77.1 per share last year. Inventory days in FY19 were 48.83 days compared to 49.63 days in FY18. Receivable days in FY19 were 68.57 days versus 70.18 days in FY18. Total working capital days in FY19 were 117.4 days versus 119.86 days in FY18. We continue to follow prudent credit controls amidst tight liquidity conditions in the real estate industry. Our focus is to sustain the accretion in cash flow to further reinforce our robust financial position. To conclude, I am excited and confident that Cera can continue to grow its multiple initiatives undertaken and strengthen its business. We strongly believe that we are well positioned to capitalize on the impending cyclical turnaround in the housing market as it unfolds. We expect to continue building on a strong financial position and sustaining our growth momentum in FY20. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sorry I missed your initial commentary. Could you give us the segment-wise revenue mix for FY19 volume growth and margins if possible?
Okay. For FY18-19, out of a total income of 1343 crores without other income, sanitary ware was 52.5%, faucet was 23.5%, tiles was 20.5%, and wellness was 3.4%.
So volume growth is possible?
Normally, we have stayed away from volume growth for the simple reason that the same factory is being used to produce technologically more complex products. And those complex products sometimes are priced 3x of a similar looking product. The margin profile on the more complex products is also much higher. So volumes is not a good assessment of how the company and production facilities and marketing teams are performing.
Sure, sir. And margins, if possible?
Overall margins, again, the EBITDA margin aim has always been to stay around 15%. We have crossed 15% this year. And that is the blended margin because you see, split margin will release some market sensitive information.
Sure. So my second question is related to the NGT ban on coal gasifiers in Gujarat. So could you please give us an update of what is the current situation and what have been the price increases by the informal sector and have we taken price increases to counter that?
You see, the NGT ban for coal gasifiers has been implemented very strictly. And the initial ground report said 450 plants have been impacted in the Morbi region, of which more than 250 plants continue to be impacted is the feedback we continue to get. Those plants which are trying to resume operations have requisite the gas pipeline infrastructure, but their cost structure has completely now changed. So there's been a 11 to 15% upward movement in their cost structure. And more than that, the GST compliance of their sales is now taking effect. So this is almost like a between 29% to 35% cost increase for those tile Morbi players. Whether it's translating into more pricing power for a company like Cera, yes, there's a slight change and change of orientation in the tiles market. And over the next 12 to 24 months, it will play out.
Got it, sir. So, and my last question is regarding your product launches. Now, you mentioned in your commentary that your product launches have, augured well with your growth this quarter and year as well. So, any commentary on the next product launches and which segments you could be targeting into?
You see, Sonali, I'll give you just a flavor of our SKUs. On the Cera sanitary wire side, there are 350 SKUs. On the faucetware side, there are 650 SKUs. And a fairly large percentage of this is always under constant watch and reorientation. So there's a sizable number of new products being launched each year. Now that number again is little market sensitive, so let's just put it as a sizable number. And the revenue from that sizable number is also well within two digits. Revenue from products launched in the last 12 months are well within two digits.
Got it. So, and sorry, last question if I may. So your current distribution network and how are you planning to expand that going forward?
We see a between 6 to 10% increase in our customer footprint each year. So to give you an example, our total customer touch points as on April 2018 were 13,161. Which increased 8%, and the number as on March 2019 were 14,218. So there is no fixed number of increases per year, but on an average anything between 6 to 10% increase is an organic increase.
Got it. Thank you, sir. This has been very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first, just wanted to check, if I look at the sanitary ware growth, it has been about 7%, 7.5% for last 3 years. How do you see the growth for this particular category and what will drive the same?
You see, the focus of the sanitary ware business within the 350 SKUs has been to produce the high-end, more technologically advanced and complex products in our own Kadi facility and try and outsource those which can be made by our vendors. So currently about 55% of our products are being made by our vendors and those are not so technologically complex. So that is one of the reasons for the high profitability. And the products that are being made in our own Kadi facility cannot be made by most factories or OEM suppliers. So to answer your question, going forward, the industry might be growing at anything between 7 to 10%. But for us to grow profitability is also as important as growing the top line. And if you remember the Q3 call, we had said that for us, attaining and retaining EBITDA margin level of 15% is extremely important, which we have crossed this year.
Right. So does it mean that we kind of build around the similar industry growth because given the competitive scenario? Is that fair?
Yes, see, on a blended basis, the best way to answer that question is on an overall basis. Whatever the current run rate has been of 13-14% top line growth, we'll be happy to retain that growth going forward.
Okay, that brings me to the second part of it. Is basically on the tiles front, if I look at the tiles growth for the year, it's roughly around 20%, as you said. How do you see it, given this is not the core product we had in the past and we are in the ramp-up phase? So how do you see where have we reached in terms of the penetration? What is the mix in terms of the tiles, in terms of ceramic, PVT, GVT, etc.?
Of the 275 crore of tiles revenue, The bulk is DC, wall tiles, porcelain tiles, paving tiles. And GVT and soluble salt are almost equal at around little less than 70 crores.
Okay.
And so bulk of our sales, if you include GVT and DC, more than 3/4 of the sales is high-end tiles.
Okay, okay.
And going forward, that is our focus. Even our JV with Milo is 100% GVT. In Anjani, we have the flexibility of catering to market demands by switching between GVT and soluble salt depending on what is selling. But again, the focus there is GVT.
Right. So, in terms of the growth, how do you see, can we maintain the current growth in terms of for the tile given the small base?
See, you have just heard what is happening with the NGT ban, capacity, overall crunch in the industry. So we definitely feel that there will be both pricing power and supply will be constrained. So going forward, organized players like Cera, who have always been on the right side of GST compliance, etc., will benefit the most.
Correct. Sorry, just asking a little deeper question on this, sir. What is the mix in terms of the own or other through the JVs and through the outsourcing? And when I say outsourcing, is it largely Morbi?
Currently, our outsourcing strategy, bulk of it is for wall tiles, porcelain and DC. So, bulk of the GVT and SS sales are made by our own facilities.
Okay. So roughly 60-65% is outsourced, 30-35% is through the...
Around job. Half is outsourced.
Half is outsourced.
Yeah.
And have you seen the any price increase Morbi players have taken for our products? And if yes, what is the extent and have you been...
We are seeing that large institutional buyers are willing to look at the higher pricing. That is the change we are seeing.
Sorry, I was asking from Morbi, our vendors, have they increased the prices for us?
No, not currently.
No increase as of now?
No.
Any indication?
But our, we have a stake in Milo, so, you know.
Got it. Thanks so much. I'll come back in the queue.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Very good numbers. Most of my questions have been answered. Just need some more details on, you know, your guidance on the ad spend for FY20.
We normally have kept 4% of top line as our internal benchmark for spending on advertising and brand building.
Mm-hmm.
So that will remain.
Okay.
And about 2 weeks ago, we launched our new ad campaign.
Okay.
Bulk of the news channels are carrying that. So there's a new ad campaign with a new tagline, new messaging.
Mm-hmm.
That is all. Okay. And that has been 2 weeks.
Okay. Sir, any major capex going forward, let's say 2 years down the line?
Annually, our capex estimate is between 55 and 75 crores. Last year, it was 70 crores.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's about 75 crores. That's the number that has been passed in the last board meeting.
Okay.
So it's indicative in nature. I can give you some more color on that. About 7.5 crores is for customer touch points.
Okay.
19 crores is for the staff colony near the Kadi plant in Mehsana.
Mm-hmm.
For automation in the faucetware business is about 12 crores.
Okay.
For automation in the sanitaryware business is about 28 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And for logistics, warehousing and IT systems is 8.5 crores.
Sure. And so for FY21? If you can.
21, we just finalized 20 right now. And these are not very long. You see, none of these expenses are very, they require a large lead time nor are these projects very long duration in nature. So annually those projects are designed and completed. Whatever little spillover there is, that is completed in the next year using the allocated budget of the previous year.
Sure. So coming to this working capital, though we have improved over last year, so what is your guidance for FY20? Still, you know, 117 days looks on the higher side. So what have we planned on that front?
We feel that given the industry dynamics and the use of credit by many other companies to push sales, Cera has done exactly the opposite. So last 4 years, the company has clamped down on credit because the company has been very financially conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And it has never used credit as a tool. So normal dealer credit period is between 30 and 45 days, and that remains as it is.
Okay.
If you add the period of transport, etc., so that's the number you'll end up getting on the receivable days that we've given out. But given the nature of the industry dynamics, I think the receivable days and the inventory days have been fully optimized.
Sure. Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So if you look at your sanitary ware, revenue growth is closer to 6-7% odd, which would also entail some amount of price and premiumization growth. So just to get a sense in terms of what would have been the industry volume growth in your assessment?
See, again, you know, we also try and look for this kind of data, and we contact many market research agencies, but we've never been able to get our hands on any authentic industry-wide data. So everybody is free to make their own estimates.
Okay. But would it be fair? Sorry. Would it be fair to assume that we would have maintained market share?
We have gained market share. So
market
on the organized space, we feel that our market share, given anecdotal data and channel checks that we do, we feel our market share is closer to 24%.
Okay. And is there any shift that you are seeing from unorganized market already, or that is still to happen?
See, even in a low-cost housing apartment of between 30 and 50 lakhs, the sanitary ware and faucet component is less than 50,000 rupees.
Yeah.
So for less than 1% of the value of the apartment, customers now extremely discerning and not willing to compromise either in the brand or the design elements that he chooses.
Sure.
And we found that customers on their own premiumize or gravitate towards designs which are more complex to produce and therefore, of course, are higher priced and better EBITDA margins. So that is the continuous trend we've been seeing that happening all across.
Okay. And sir, how has been the growth for Senator?
Senator and SVR are still currently very young brands. And they are extremely niche brands given the fact that they're priced so high.
Yeah.
So going forward also we expect them to be a very small niche. In any case, Cera with its 27 series on sanitary ware had covered the entire mass and premium segment of sanitary ware for the longest time.
Okay.
So Isvia and Senator are a good conversation starter, but we feel that that same customer ultimately ends up buying Cera. So Senator is, you know, whatever rub-off impact we get because of those designs and, you know, the look and feel of those products. So I'll give you another flavor on this. The company has 9 company-owned style centers, and these are large format between 7,000 square feet to 14,000 square feet each, which are experience centers, and there are no sales that take place from these showrooms.
Yeah.
Now, in most of these showrooms, we also display Isvia and Senator along with Cera products. And Senator and Isvia often draw a lot of customers into these showrooms. But those, once they start comparing products, they find that Cera products look and feel almost the same.
Okay.
And, you know, they end up buying Cera products. So there's a huge intangible benefit the company is already drawing from these launches.
Okay. Sir, have you taken any price hikes in sanitary wear faucets effective April?
Yes, first week of April between 3 to 5% across the board, and in some products between 5 and 7%.
And that's largely to pass on the impact of cost push, or will one look at it? Or?
No, there is no cost push in the sanitary wear sector because RM as a percentage of total sales is 12 to 13%.
Okay.
Which this RM is feldspar, clay, etc., largely been stable for many years now and available in abundant supply. Labor is about 17 to 19%, and gas is about 2%. So gas has also been stable and labor has also been stable. So if you, these are the three major components of cost in sanitary.
Sure. Okay. And just one last question from my side, in terms of the tile segment of it, what would be the Milo utilization for the current year? I know it's still early, but what would be the broad utilization?
One second.
So,
Milo is 95% for the last 6 months since we signed this JV.
95%. And for Anjani?
Anjani is 90%+ for the full year.
So given the change that we have seen, the NGT ruling, which has kind of forced the coal gasifiers to stop operating, and if there is a shift from unorganized to organized, would you be in a position, or would you like to sign up one more JV, given the current JVs are already operating at elevated utilization? How should one look at it?
Currently, there is no proposal on the table, but going forward, depending on how much we want to outsource and how much we want to produce through JVs, that's a decision that can be taken over the next 12 to 24 months.
Okay. Sure. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Morning, sir. My question is more pertaining to the industry. Could you help us understand how the market is panning out across replacement and retail business vis-a-vis project business, or maybe tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities? How you see the market is behaving in terms of the demand scenario?
You see, currently there is no third party authentic data available, so you know, we just make our estimates based on the channel checks we do. To give you a flavor on this, because Cera has built its brand over the last four decades, now 72% of our sales are through dealers and points of sale. Now, for a smaller or newer player, that ratio will be inverse of this number. There will be 70, 80 or 90% institutional sales. Our direct developer come institutional come government tenders are all part of the 28%. Now, the one number we had a few quarters ago for the industry was the replacement demand is 20% of total demand, but there's no way to authenticate that number.
Right.
But that 20% demand would be really at the top end, you know, because those customers who go in for a replacement, they try and jump the value curve 3-4 notches. So that's a very profitable part of the industry, and our retail touch points, dealers, they are catering to that profitable part of the industry.
Sir, I'm more coming from the point that over last 6 months vis-a-vis next 6 months, how you see the project side of demand from your own reading in the markets? I mean, is it slowing down, or is it something which is now showing to see some momentum? How you see that business project side, maybe in 6 months past and now from here on?
Normally, we peg that demand at between 7 and 11% annual growth. So, I think it's safe to assume that that number is a stable number.
Okay. And Kerala being one of the big market for us, how that market must have behaved after this rehabilitation-related demand? Is it come up? Is it normalized? How that market is for us now?
We were impacted for a period of about 30 days. And post 30 days, sales were normal, and you know, there was some rehabilitation buying as well. So on a state basis, we have completed the year with almost a similar number of than the previous year.
Okay, okay. And about the competitive landscape, now that many new players also have come in, some of them are leading brands like Kajaria, Somany, even Jaguar has acquired plant and now having aggressive plants who go into sanitaryware market. How do you see this dynamics changing or overall competitive intensity changing for us and for the industry in sanitaryware?
The sanitaryware is the meatiest and most profitable part of this bathroom home solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more profitable than tiles or faucetware. So every company wants to be in sanitaryware. But sanitaryware is also a closed industry. So mm-hmm. it's not easy to be a price warrior and gain traction in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it has taken 4 decades. For the top 3 players, we are all in the same vintage who have built our brands in 4-5 decades, the brand promise, quality parameters. There is a huge labor component in producing sanitaryware. Getting that to stabilize, getting quality parameters to stabilize takes a long time. Then comes the after-sale service. So, for example, we have 250 technicians in a 1-800 number 24-hour call center answering individual customer complaints.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things which takes time to establish. We don't feel that the top 3 players in sanitaryware who have a combined market share of 50-60% are going to be dislodged anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And lastly, you have 9 display centers, right? You said?
Company owned are 9.
Yeah.
Dealer owned are 140. And retailer owned are 2,700.
Okay. So this large gallery I'm talking about company owned, how you see this to be expanding over next 2 to 5 years? I mean,
we could add anything between 1 and 3 every year.
Okay. And typically how much is cost per center?
Without getting into the real estate cost, it could be owned or rented. That's a different aspect. It costs more or less than 1 crore in doing up the interior. And then, of course, the products. The products are also revolving in nature. So, you know, depending on customer taste for that region, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And lastly, the company was looking out for some more joint ventures in Morbi for outsourcing of tiles, like on the lines of Milo. So anything working on that front?
Currently, there is no proposal to do another JV simply because we have a large outsourcing and QC team. Now, our QC team is stationed at the OEM suppliers' plants. So we might be paying a little more for the products we buy, but our QC parameters are also much higher than industry for tiles. So currently, there are no plans to take equity. And to give you an example, a lot of tiles players in Morbi, for them, an off-take contract is more valuable than a few crores of equity that we might provide them for 26% or 49% stake.
Mm-hmm.
So they value the off-take contracts much more, and that's what we provide.
So how many active outsourcer partners we must be having now in Morbi?
More than 5.
Okay. Including Milo, is it?
Yes, Milo we don't consider outsider now because we have a 26%
okay.
stake.
Okay, okay. Fine. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepan Mehta from Elixir Equity. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. At a time when we are seeing overall consumption growth rate reducing, especially for discretionary products such as yours, you have come with double-digit type of growth rate. So what basically went right for you?
I think our retail focus and commitment of the dealers and the dealers getting the similar commitment from the retailers at this service. So, Mr. Mehta, you know that retail is the holy grail in every industry and that's no different in our industry. So pricing plays less of a impact in sanitaryware than it does in even other consumer durables because this is a visible brand and, you know, for a homeowner who is not going to change sanitaryware for 20-25 years, this is too important an aspect to compromise on by saving 500 or 1500 rupees and opting for a cheaper design. So both consumer preferences and the commitment of our dealers and retailers.
Okay, the second question is, even in the tiles business, you've been growing at a faster rate than the market leaders over there. So what is the differentiated strategy you're following, part A and part B? Is that, are there common dealers between the tiles and sanitaryware and faucetware, or you have a separate distribution network and a separate set of retailers for all of the products?
Between faucetware and sanitaryware, you'll find a substantial overlap between the customer touch points, both in retailers and dealers. And between tiles and sanitaryware, you'll find a very small overlap, very, very tiny overlap.
But what in tiles, what are the differential strategy you are following, which is why you're able to generate these kind of growth rates? I'm sure it's low base, but still.
Yeah, low base is one of the reasons. And focus on innovative designs, trying to customize designs in the case of institutional orders. And in tiles, we have a sales force which is just 5-6 years old. So they are extremely enthusiastic on our ability to deliver. So tiles has actually worked out very well. And you know, a lot of customers who wanted to buy everything from one place were not getting this option 5 years ago. When we entered faucet in 2009, that was a similar question. Sorry, I heard some echo, sir. That's why I just stopped. But the similar reason is what has worked for us in tiles now, which worked for us in faucet from 2009 onwards. So the customer often looks at one solutions company, one brand that he wants to use in the bathroom, even though tiles is not really a visible brand.
Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sriram Rajaram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Rajaram, please be a bit loud, sir. Let me hear you.
Yeah. Sure. Couple of questions, sir. So basically, what is the revenue and EBITDA figure for Anjani and Milo? For full year.
The revenue figure is just below 100 crores.
Okay. And EBITDA?
And about 11 crores.
For Milo?
Yes. Sorry, for ATL. And for Milo, it's just been 6 months.
Yeah.
So the revenue is about 35 crores and EBITDA is 5 crores.
Okay. So basically, when you're saying that Milo and Anjani are both operating at 90% plus, so do we see a higher share of outsourcing to maintain the current growth rate?
Yes, yes. And you see, you know, we have some innovative designs like full body double charge tiles. Those have become very popular. And double charge as a category has also become very popular. That is fully outsourced. Porcelain tiles, wall tiles, those are fully outsourced. And those categories are also gaining. So share of outsourcing, we were able to get a good mix of outsourcing and own production over the last 12 months, and that is going to be our strategy going forward.
So, and so what is the number, sir? What is that you are having? Is possible to clock 20%?
Going forward, we want to just be careful and not give any guidance because we've never given any forward-looking statement, but we'll be happy with the current run rate.
Okay, and similarly on the faucet front, we must be operating at 70% plus, right? Our own faucet unit. So where do you see the growth coming there? There also we'll outsource whenever it's necessary, is it?
For the quarter, faucet was at 82% and for the year it was at 71%.
Okay.
At our own facilities capacity utilization. And even the faucet top line, you'll find that about 54% of products that were sold under the faucetware category were outsourced.
Okay, okay.
And again, these are less complex to produce, can be produced by OEM suppliers. So our decision to outsource or to make is totally dependent only on one factor, whether the technological superiority of our factory can be displayed to the consumer when we manufacture.
Okay, fine, sir. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from Kedia Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, morning and congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, since you have outpaced in terms of growth and margins for the industry within the last 5 years, but for last 2 years we have seen our margin has been consolidating in the range of like 14-15%. Since we are looking at double-digit healthy growth, so have we entered into the zone where we our margin can improve from here, and how soon we will get to a, get back to our previous margins of 18-19%?
You saw in Q4 that top line increase of 14-15% results in a PAT and EBITDA level increase of 24-25%.
Right.
So that, of course, is something we would like to maintain if that is possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, maintaining 15% EBITDA margins itself is a very, very healthy trend, and I mean, that is a number that we'll be extremely delighted with.
Okay, sir. And as you said, your market share in sanitaryware is around 44%. Could you give market share for faucets?
Faucet, again, is much more fragmented because other than the leading player, everybody has a very small share of the market. So, if you look at our faucet business, would be around 320 crores. In a market that is 8,000 crores, you know, okay. In an industry that is 8,000 crores.
Thank you. Thank you and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking the question. I have a first few bookkeeping questions. Sir, if you can help us with the capacity for sanitaryware and faucetware end of the year on a per-day basis, the utilization levels for Q4 and FY, and what is the outsourced portion for the full year on volume or revenue terms?
So our sanitaryware plant in Mehsana district in Kadi is the single largest plant in the country with 10,000 pieces per day's capacity.
Right.
Our faucet plant in the same location is 7,500 pieces per day.
Okay.
And as far as outsourcing is concerned, sanitaryware is 54% outsourced. Faucetware is 54% outsourced.
Okay. And sir, utilization levels?
Utilization levels for sanitaryware for Q4 is 89%. For the year is 91%. Faucetware for the quarter is 82% and for the year is 71%.
Okay, this helps. Sir, my second question is on competitive intensity. I was just looking at numbers of Jaguar and a few unlisted players. Now, one of the guys, the players that I cited, they definitely have grown at upwards of 20% CAGR over the last 5 years. If look at our CAGR, it is around 14-15%. So, sir, how should we look at it? We do have a very strong legacy, a very credible brand. But do you think that we are losing out on market share? Because the numbers that you cited for 24%, it is something which you indicated is based on channel checks. So, sir, how should we look at this particular variable wherein you do indicate that margins at 15% is something that we'll target? So what is our strategy? Is it more on volume growth to preserve the market share? How is the company, the management, looking at the marketplace?
You see, this is a very ROC company. So for us, more than, you know, achieving a particular top line number, ROC is a more important metric. So we have always been about 26%, this year is also 26% ROC, and that's the best way to look at us, you know. A top line growth of 13-14% or even 15%, EBITDA margins at 15%, increase in product offerings every year, maintaining its market share, and industry leading ROC. So I can't speak for the unlisted companies, for the listed sanitaryware companies, we are more than double the current ROC of the listed sanitaryware companies.
Okay. But sir, any targets? We really appreciate your ROC focused and it shows up in your numbers. But sir, some aspiration that the group would have to target over next 3 years or 5 years or 10 years?
You maintain the current growth rate, both on profitability, EBITDA, top line, ROC, market share, and continue to increase its product offerings. Those are the most viable aspirations.
Okay. Sir, on the CapEx part, you did indicate you gave a very elaborate breakup, and you also indicated the utilization levels for sanitaryware, faucetware, and tiles division. So why are we not looking at any major incremental CapEx, or is it that outsourcing is the major route and you are comfortable with, say, 80% outsourcing? Is that the right way to look at, or do you have any particular numbers in mind wherein you'll have a mix of outsourcing versus captive?
See, the most important thing in Cera's outsourcing strategy is not price, it's quality. So you'll find that from the kind of OEM suppliers Cera buys products, we end up paying little more, whether it's imported or in India. Okay. So that's the strategy, again, very different from other sanitaryware companies. We are willing to pay little more because our quality parameters are much higher. Now, as far as own capacity expansion is concerned, you see, debottlenecking, automation, and technological upgrades are an ongoing process. And even last year, there was a significant capex directed towards that effort. Even this year, there's a significant capex of 40 out of 70 directed towards that.
Sir, if I have to put it the other way around, what could be the blown out top line if we had to operate at, say, 100% utilization and, say, outsourcing is, say, capped at 60%? So how much of room do we have before we see next phase of CapEx announcement from you?
That technological upgrade and automation increases the throughput of the plant. That is one factor. And as far as complexity of products is concerned, we'll always make sure that complex products are made in the factory. And those products that can be made outside at the same quality parameters will be made outside. So for us, again, a capacity increase is not, again, a good metric to evaluate the company on.
Sir, just two more questions. One is we have cash on the books and we don't have any major capex plans. I understand we did announce dividends this year. But sir, how should one look at the incremental dividend payout policy? Anything over here that you would like to give color on?
You see, the company has been paying dividends for 33 years consistently. Last year, we paid 240% on the face value of 5 rupees. This year we have paid 260%. And as a percentage of PAT, is between 16 and 17% of PAT. So last 4-5 years, that has been the consistent number.
Correct. But sir, when we look at it from a ROC perspective, don't you think that a higher payout is something which I would like to have your thoughts over here, given we are not deploying any major capex?
The cash generation is 143 crores in FY19, of which dividend plus DDT will be about 20 crores.
Correct.
And capex will be 70. And about 40 plus will be the addition to treasury. Now, treasury currently has 181 crores.
Correct.
In cash and cash equivalents. So our aim is to add at least 40 to it annually.
Okay. Probably, sir, I'll take this question offline. And, sir, my last question was, any particular reason of taking price increases? You indicated 3 to 5% and 5 to 7% on certain products. Specifically, you said that there's no cost push element over here. So, and you also indicated that we are comfortable with 15% margins. So, I'm just a bit confused to understand, basically, are we trying to push margins, focus more on ROC, or is it something on volumes that we are looking at?
You see, we look at the pricing of all products every October and April, and that has been the historic trend. And there's only one factor that determines any price increases, and that is the ability of the market to bear. So, based on the ability of the market to bear, a decision on individual products is taken.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much for the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of J. Radhakrishnan from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Sir, congrats for the strong set of numbers. I need the initial part of the commentary.
Sorry, Mr. Radhakrishnan, you're not audible, sir. May I request you to use the handset mode?
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I missed the initial part of the con call. Can you please give us the growth numbers for the quarter for sanitary ware, tiles, etc.?
Growth numbers for the quarter for sanitary ware were 4%, for faucet ware were 22%, for wellness was 28%, and tiles was 30%.
How much of that may be price driven? Is it possible, some idea?
It's very difficult to decipher with 1100 SKUs. How much is product mix driven and how much is price driven is very difficult to split.
Okay, sir. No problem. Sir, we are hearing more and more affordable or low cost housing projects being launched by the real estate developers. How is the Jeet brand is progressing?
You see, Jeet is a brand that is completely, you can call it unbranded. Because that is a brand we launched only for government tenders. We don't even display Jeet products in our company-owned experience centers. That is a very price-driven brand and we don't advertise, we don't spend any money on brand creation. And those are very, very basic products for government tenders. It's again a very, very small part of our business currently.
Okay. And one last question, if I can squeeze in. Sir, what is the ad expenses for this quarter, for March quarter?
Annualized is the best metrics, again, 4% of top line. Sometimes it's bunched up in a few quarters depending on the festive season, etc. So like currently now you're seeing a big push because TV viewership currently is extremely high in the news channels. So you'll be seeing a lot of our ads for the last 2 weeks on all news channels. So that is, annualized number is the best metric.
So can we safely assume that for March quarter also it will be somewhere around 4%?
No, for the year it will be 4%. Like this new ad campaign, this Kuch Pal Ghar Ke Naam, is currently on in all the news channels. But, you know, this is a current burst for the next 45 days or so. And then again, it will peter down. So again, putting a number on a quarterly basis may not be correct.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So the first question related to your, you know, the growth in the tiles is quite high as compared to other product segment. So the way forward, your contribution in the total sales of a tiles is going to increase, and at what level you will be comfortable with? Like it will from 20%, say it will go to 30%, you will restrict there, or what the strategy?
See, the current mix of revenues between sanitary ware, faucet, tiles and wellness is 52, 24, 20 and 3.5. That's the ratio that was maintained in the last quarter. If you remember on the last quarter con call, we discussed this and we maintained it in this quarter and also for the full year. So going forward, this ratio for us is something that we'd like to maintain.
Okay. Okay. Great, sir. And next is with this NGT ban, is that affected the sanitary manufacturing as well? Is there any plants affected with that or?
None of the plants we hear in Morbi manufacturing sanitary ware were on coal gasified because, again, fuel cost, gas is less than 2% of sanitary ware cost. The cost differential was more prominent for tiles companies between 11 and 15%. which is was the incentive to switch to coal gasifiers, which they have been doing. And the second reason was non-GST sales. So both those issues have been addressed very swiftly by the government and via the NGT ban.
Okay. Sir, with the GST, kicking up, is there any benefit with the logistic days are you finding? Like, overall travel time has reduced and that's why your distributor dealers are getting benefited out of that or something like that?
See, bulk of our logistics, because given the fragile nature of sanitary ware, is via road transport. So there's very little ability to innovate there using any other means of transport.
No. So in the road transport only, with the implementation of a GST, are you seeing a number of days of a transport has been reduced out of that? Have you seen anything like that?
It might impact us by a day or two on a nationwide basis.
But you are not seeing in your business right now?
See, in any case, our transport is not a critical factor because we have company-owned or company-rented depots where our transported goods are first taken and then from there they are delivered to the dealers.
Okay. Okay. So, the all geographies, you have your warehouses and from there you are transporting to a dealer distributor.
We have about 19 to 20 company-owned or rented depots across the country. And from there, the dealers can either get material or the company provides them material, and then the dealer further services their set of retailers.
Okay. And can you give any sense on your sales mix of Tier 1 and metro cities versus Tier 3 and 4 cities?
For us, again, that number is very difficult to get because dealers have their own channels, their own distribution.
Mm-hmm.
What I can give you is the geographical breakup, which we had also given last quarter, which is north is 25%, east is 9%, west is 22%, and south is 44% of sales.
Okay. But there is no specific segregation between the metro tier 1 versus tier 3 and 4 cities?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, one thing I wanted to understand on the PVC Sishan JV that you were going to form, so what is the status of the same? And the other thing is that what is your strategy for the other products that you have launched in last 1 year? So let's say water heaters and kitchen sinks and everything. So if you can throw some light on the strategy for all these products.
Currently, PVC is being outsourced. So there is no current plan to take any equity. And, for a lot of these outsourcing OEMs, the offtake contract has much more value than any small amount of equity we take in them. For them to know that their entire production will be sold. Then on the plastic front, we have a JV called Race Polymer. Now that Race Polymer, where we have a 51% equity stake from 1st April 2019, is in trial production and their products will include PVC cisterns and seat covers to start with.
Okay, sir.
So that is currently on. Then okay. We have another small JV called Packard, which makes corrugated boxes for sanitary ware and faucet ware.
Sure, sir. And sir, about the new product launches that you have done in last 1 year, particularly on the water heater side and everything?
See, that's again a very small... Going forward also, it will be a very, very small portion of the business. We have not really launched it on a nationwide basis. You can call it a pilot project to start with. Water heaters and kitchens. Water heaters is again being displayed by some of our retailers who want to provide integrating bathroom solutions to a set of customers. So again, this is just like a add-on product. It doesn't look like it's going to be a significant portion of our top line anytime soon.
Okay, sir. And sir, can you just help me out with power and fuel expense on console level? So what was it for FY19, power and fuel expense on consolidated levels?
See, 90% of our within our own facilities is generated through our solar and wind installations, and that has been a part of our green energy exercise from 1995. As far as gas is concerned, it's 2% of our overall balance sheet top line.
Okay, 2% for at console level as well, right, sir?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Shea from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
So I missed this. Power and fuel, you said 4% of top line, right?
So you're not audible, Mr. Shea.
Hello, is it clear?
Yeah.
I said, sir, power and fuel cost you mentioned is 4% of revenue, in which gas is 2%.
Gas is 2% of, 1.9% of revenue and 2.1% of cost of production on an overall P&L basis. Power and fuel, again, 90%+ is being generated by our installed wind and solar capacity.
Okay. And sir, for FY19, if you could give, you know, what was the sanitary, I think you mentioned 6% growth rate. I wanted to know what was sanitary, faucet, tile and wellness growth rate.
Right. For YOY 12 months, it was 5.5% sanitary wear, 20% faucet wear, 16.5% tiles and 108% wellness.
Okay. And is it possible to know what would be the blended volume growth in this?
See, volume again is not a good metric to evaluate the company and what we are doing, because of 1100 SKUs just in faucet wear and sanitary wear. So there is an interplay between different SKUs which are dramatically different priced.
No problem, sir.
So we might choose to sell down one SKU simply because the customer is moving towards a higher price, higher margin product.
No problem. And you have taken about 3-4% price hike in sanitary wear beginning FY20. That's how you called out, right?
Yes, 3-5% in most products, and in some niche products, 5-7%.
So this would include faucet price increase as well and tiles also. That's how it is in most products?
No, no, only sanitary wear. Only sanitary wear. Faucet is a more dynamic pricing, not only twice a year, because it's very closely linked to the price of brass.
Okay. So as of now, it's sanitary wear, 3-5% pricing.
Correct, correct.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you everyone. It will always be our endeavor to answer all questions. Should any participant feel the need for further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact the IR team or me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on the call. And see you all next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.